you like a formula for love? Ah, that it would be as simple as making a martini. Three ingredients, shaken together with ice, add an olive or a twist, and perfection. Look at the person next to you, and suddenly, true love. Well, martinis can end badly, as many of you perhaps already understand. And so a scientist, Arthur Aaron, after some study many years ago, offered a more rigorous method. Number one, find two people looking for love. Two, have them answer a specific series of 36 questions openly and honestly. And then, and this is the olive, have them stare into each other's eyes without speaking for exactly 4 minutes. Dr. Aaron did lots of trials of this and discovered that the method didn't just lead to sparks in intimacy. Two of the study subjects actually married each other less than 6 months later. Writer Mandy Len Catron decided to put this scientific method to the test in her real love life with a man she barely knew, basically a stranger. Now she has a name for him, boyfriend.
So we were acquaintances, but we did this study just sort of on a whim for fun. And I didn't know, it was the first time we'd ever hung out one-on-one.
What was the line? I mean, you said, hi, I don't really know you. You seem kind of cool. Yeah, right.
No.
I have this like thing I want to do. And
No.
I mean, guys will do anything, right?
We're out having a drink and just sort of talking about relationships. I end up talking to people about love a lot because I research and write about it. And so he said to me, I think I have this theory that given a certain number of commonalities, you could fall in love with almost anyone. And I was kind of like, well, you know, I'm not sure if that's true or not. But then I remembered this study and I said, well, someone's actually done some research on that topic. And I didn't know if we were on a date or not on a date, but I was interested enough to say, well, let's try it. And he's a really good sport. So he was like, okay, sure. And so, you know, we just did.
So what are the questions and would you have asked them under any circumstances if you didn't know about this research?
Some of them you might ask. Like they begin very casual and get increasingly intimate. So some are like, would you like to be famous and in what way? Or what would be your perfect day? Like these are questions that I would ask someone, but then they get a lot more intimate really quickly. And I think those are the kind of questions that are maybe a little bit more intimidating to ask someone. Like here's one, if you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? I mean, they're interesting questions, but not necessarily questions that you would think to pose to somebody you don't know very well, or maybe that you would even be very comfortable posing to somebody you don't know very well.
What would your answer to that question be?
I would want to teleport. I live really far away from my family and I'd love to be able to just pop over and visit them for the weekend.
Nice. And take me through the 4 minutes as you've experienced it. I mean, the first 15 seconds are like, whoa. And then you're a minute in and you're going, okay, this is taking some time. Then I suspect there's some sort of transformation that takes place, you know, after like minute two or three.
Yeah. So I think it took me about – the guy I did it with, my boyfriend, he is like this really calm, sort of placid, relaxed human, and I'm kind of not. So he was a great person to do it with because he just sort of had this like calm, relaxed smile, and he just sort of went for it. And I was so nervous. I could hardly breathe. I think for the first 2 minutes, I was like focusing on breathing properly and trying to relax and trying not to laugh. There was a lot of smiling. And then eventually, which is why I think you should do it for 4 minutes instead of two, because it's been reported variously in different places for different lengths of time. But I think, you know, after about the second minute, I was able to relax. And it took me that long. It took half the time to get to that point. But once I did, there's something pretty profound about looking at someone and letting someone really look at you for 4 minutes straight. I mean, it's terrifying, but I think also once you kind of let that experience in, it can be pretty powerful. I mean, you really have to let your guard down.
Well, and then he was more than a good sport.
Well, yeah. So we developed a friendship very quickly starting that night, and then we started spending a lot of time together. but we really waited to think about whether or not we wanted to pursue a romantic relationship. So it's not like we fell in love while we're staring into each other's eyes.
But, you know, you took a pretty important first step, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I think maybe there are a lot of people out there who want to be intimate with someone, who want to be really vulnerable, but who need a mechanism that enables them to do that. And this study provides a way in.
Now, does that mean that we're more selective if we decide to fall in love with someone by, you know, doing one of these kind of love potion-y sort of things? Or does it mean we're less selective, that it could happen kind of with anyone?
I guess my sense is that you get to be more selective. Like, my experience with love has always been that it was this really overwhelming thing that would just happen to me, and I didn't feel like I had a choice about it. And I would fall for these guys who weren't necessarily the kind of people I would maybe want to make a life with, but they were, you know, attractive or artistic or moody. I mean, especially when I was younger. And I think I like the idea of having more agency in that process and saying, you know, these are the qualities that are really valuable to me in another person. And finding someone who has those qualities and really pursuing a romantic relationship with them. I mean, I think all of us would like to do it that way instead of just let love sort of force us into whatever.
No, a lot of
whatever
people,
relationship right. sort of happens.
Now, a lot of people would listen to what you're saying and go, all right, she's talking about the difference between Mr. Right and, you know, Mr. Right Now or Ms.
Yeah,
Right
sure.
or Ms. Right Now. But you're suggesting mm-hmm. that there might be a whole other group in the middle that's, you know, Mr. Right for a while. That's also love.
If you do much research into romantic love, you know, like, I think very quickly the idea of a soulmate kind of flies out the window. Like, I don't buy into that myth. I think you can fall in love with any number of people. And if that's true, like, if we accept that it's possible to fall in love with any number of people, why not fall in love with someone who's just really wonderful and fits your life really nicely? It's much easier said than done, of course. But I like that idea. I think that makes sense.
It's great to talk to you, and happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thanks. Same to you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Mandy Len Catron teaches writing at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver and is working on a book about the dangers of love stories. You can read her work at thelovestoryproject.ca.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.